Good morning. Today's daf and gittin is Chaf Aleph. We're on Chaf Amud Beis. We are towards the top of the Amud and Chaf Amud Beis. Let's pick it up where we left off yesterday with the words Baminei, third line down. We are obviously here in the second parak of the Masechta. We're discussing various aspects of the get. And so Baminei, Rav Amir Rav Nachman. So the following question was asked from Rav to Rav Nachman, Kasav Laget Al Tashal Zav Amalei Skabi Gitech. Okay, so I already joked at the beginning of Daf today, pre-recording, and that we're going to open it up today with the golden parachute. Okay, so it's an expression. It's an age-old expression. It's a funny expression, by the way, golden parachute. In other words, you're jumping out of the plane, and then your parachute opens up, and it's golden. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, but everyone here, even if you don't know what the expression means, but nevertheless, over here, the woman is going to be receiving a get, and the get's going to be made up of gold, meaning the actual the plating. It's not a plating. It's gold. And the get is written on the gold. And so can it now check two boxes? Number one, it's a get. And as we already discussed, the get could be written on anything, right? Now, later in today's daf, we're going to limit that. In other words, it can't be written on anything, but most anything, right? That's the point of the Mishnah, which took us back to Daf Yutes. And today we're going to be ending that 3-day discussion. It's Yutet, Chaf, and Chaf Aleph in terms of the ink and what the get has to be written on. So over here, writing on gold, that's not a big deal. What is a big deal in the second box that we're checking is that on top of that also, the get is actually valuable. It's made up of gold. And so therefore, there is a ksuva payment that has to be settled at the end of the marriage. That's the ksuva, right? The main point of the ksuva is that upon conclusion of the marriage, either death or divorce, so she is going to be receiving a lump sum value. Okay, that some value is whatever they decided at the beginning. The Chachamim instituted that it's going to be 200 zuz for a besula, 100 for an amana. Okay, so can this get now count both as a get and as a ksuva? Now, the truth of the matter is, if you think about it, why not? Meaning, right, I'm presenting this as like some sort of radical idea that the get could be both. It could be both a get and a ksuva. Anyway, so the Gemara discusses exactly this point. So, the response is, so the answer is, of course, it could check both boxes. So in of itself, meaning, if I didn't have any other information, I would think this seems to be a pretty reasonable point. In other words, then what would be, where is there room to argue? So the Gemara goes on to describe and discuss. So Rava asked the following question, Esve, challenging from a Brisa, Iskaba Gitech Vashar, Luxuva Seir, Shiniskaba. So in other words, I want you to accept the get, and the remainder of it is going to be Iksuva. We're in Chaf Amud Beis. We're all the way towards the top of Chaf Amud Beis. So, iskabegitech v'ashar l'ksuva sech, niskabegitech v'ashar l'ksuva sa. So, in the Braisa, here's what it sounds like. It sounds like the part of the get which you're writing on, that has to be totally dedicated for get. In other words, you can't double dip like what we're suggesting right now. We're suggesting a double dipping of using it both as a get and as payment towards the ksuva. From the Braisa, the language of the Braisa does not seem to indicate that. And the Gemara makes a diuk. So time of the ikashar, like a shar lo. So the Gemara says, that's what it sounds like from the Braisa. The Gemara says lo. Like a shar lo. Comma. So the Gemara says no. Who adin afagav de lekashar vakamashmalan afagav de kashar iamar la in ilolo. So the Gemara says no. The truth of the matter is that even if there is no extra, now I'm going to say paper over here, it's not paper. In other words, it's all gold. But even if there is no extra gold, so right, and the point of the Braisa is that the afagav de ikashar iamar la, if he says it, then fine. But if he doesn't, then no. In other words, the whole point of the Braisa is that he has to be expressive of the fact that this is going to be applied towards the ksuva. My time up. So avir de magiltahum. So the Gemara says, now why? Because what you could have just simply argued is that if you didn't express it, so then it would just simply be viewed as a get, an extraordinarily expensive get, right? Unnecessarily expensive. Okay. But in order for it to be applied towards ksuva payment, it has to be expressed. Okay, that's all. That was the only point that the Braisa was making. Otherwise, without the Braisa, it would it the get can be servicing both the divorce and ksuva payment. And the only point that the Braisa was making is that it just simply has to be articulated. Okay, good. Tana Rabbanan.
But if there is no, everything is written, it's not good?
No, then it would be fine. Then we'd be fine as both.
He doesn't have to, presumably,
he doesn't have to express it. Tana Rabbanan Rizikitech, Vini Arshali, and Imagoreshes. So, let's say the following. Let's say the Gemara just right now is stretching the limits of what is considered a kosher get, meaning it has to be written on something. We already established yesterday that the something that the get is written on doesn't have to have value. In fact, yesterday, if you remember, so we said you could even write an Isuri Hana, and that would be fine. So the get itself, the actual paper or whatever you're writing on itself doesn't have to have monetary value, but it has to be something. So let's say, for example, the husband says to the wife, I'm going to be writing you the get, but the paper you're going to give right back to me. Or alternatively, let me even say better. Let me sharpen this, right? Not even that the get's going to come back to me, is that the paper's mine, right? So the hareza gitech and yar shali, right? The paper's mine. So the ena megureshes, that's not a get. In other words, there has to be a nesina where there are words on paper. Again, I keep using the word paper. Yeah, everyone here understand. It doesn't have to be paper, but it has to be something. So, now, what the husband can say is that, look, I'm going to be giving you the get with the paper, but then what you're going to do is you're going to give me back the get. You're going to give me back the paper. That works. That's fine. In other words, because here there was a nesina, it has to be returned. So what? Meaning the get just simply requires an act, a giving of an item from him to her. He did so. She has to return it. So what? That's fine. It's what we call in halacha matana manas lahachzir, but that is in fact considered a matana. By Rav Papa, bein shita l'shita, bein teva l'teva mai. So let's say now the husband says the following, and that is that I'm going to be giving you the get, but only the paper where words are on it. Every other part of the paper belongs to me. Okay, and if you want, by the way, you can add drama to the whole situation. There's no need to, right? But I'm just, in terms of just, you know, helping visualize this case over here, a lot of contention between husband and wife, a lot of animosity. And he's like, I'm going to give you the get, but I'm just going to give you the bare minimum. I'm only giving you the words and the paper that's behind the words, but nothing else. The rest of the paper belongs to me. So is that going to work? That's Rav Papa's question. So bein shita l'shita bein teva l'teva amai. So teku. So the Gemara says I'm not sure about that. So v'tepiklei the sefer echad amar rachmana v'lo shleim shloshes farim. The Gemara says I don't understand. Meaning if we can separate the paper behind the letter with all the other paper on that page, so what are we looking at right now? Basically, it's a puzzle. What we're looking at is a puzzle. And when the Torah says that he must give her a get, it has to be safer. It has to be a single entity. So the Gemara says, L'tzricha d'ma'ura. So the Gemara says, no, well, even if I were to cut out the letters, it would still be one entity. Why? Ma'ura, the Gemara says, because the letters are intertwined one with the other. Rashi describes over here, right, everyone, it's easy to visualize. So the lamed, you have the head of the lamed, the rosh of the lamed going up into the line above it. In a kuf, you have the leg of the kuf going down into the line below it. So even as I'm cutting, as long as there's enough intertwining of the letters, so the get itself and the paper behind it is still going to be one entity. It won't be a puzzle. It'll be a really, it'll be an oddly shaped get, admittedly, but it won't be a puzzle. Okay. Alot tzricha d'mura. Bayim rami barchama. Okay, from this point going forward in today's daf, it is going to be an interesting discussion in the Gemara regarding the act of him giving her a get. And in other words, it requires a nesina. Okay? Venasana get, the Torah says that it has to be a gift. And I say gift, by the way, I'm just here speaking in the strictest of legal terms, right? The word gift over here in the context of a divorce sounds a little bit strange. So the gift is not the right word to use, but nevertheless, it has to be a transaction where it belonged to him and it's going to go to her. Okay, so the paper with the lettering on it must start off with him being the owner of it and then him transferring it over to her, and that effects the get. It's really that simple. But now with that in mind, the Gemara is going to have a number of discussions regarding this act of Nesina. We're going to start off with a question of Rami Bar Chama. We are right in the middle of Chaf Amud Beis. He asked the following question on Yimuch Zakim Be'Evet Shu Shalom. We know the Evet Kenani started off as being his Evet Kenani. Evet Kenani, as we've discussed time and again throughout Shas, is property. It is chattel. And therefore, there is ownership of an Evet Kenani. This Evet Kenani in question belongs to him. And Veget Kasuv Al Yado. And right now, where's the get? The get is written on the Evet Kenani. Now, I know, by the way, you're not allowed to tattoo. And in just a moment, we're going to entertain the idea that the get is going to be tattooed on the Evet Kenani. And I know that's a strange visual, but still, well, I jumped the gun a little bit because we're not there yet. Hold that thought. Sorry. So, get Kasuval Yado, and the get is written now on his hand, on the hand of the Evet Kenani. And now what happens is that she comes to the court with the Evet Kenani, and now she's claiming that, hey, this Evet Kenani now was given to me with the get being written on the Evet Kenani, and therefore I'm a divorced woman, Mahu. So now, when did the transfer occur? At this point in time, we are going to assume there were no Ede Mesira. Now, it's fair to ask me the question, but you don't have to because the Gemara is going to. How can there be a get if there was no Ede Mesira? Hold that thought. Mi Amrinan, Aknu Yakne La Udilma, Humanafshe Ayo. So, what do we assume right now? Meaning, in light of the fact that there are no Ede Mesira, so can we assume that there was a formal transfer of the Evet Kenani from him to her, which would facilitate a proper get? That's option A. Option B, the Evet Kenani, who is a person, just simply walked over from him to her, and there was no transfer of ownership of the Evet Kenani. It's really that simple. So Amarava Vitepakle Diksav Yachaliz Dayev. So the Gemara right now gets sidetracked for a moment because, wait one second, that can't possibly be a good get. What did you do? You write it on the skin of an Evet Kenani. In other words, you could just simply wash it off. So Ula Rav Akasha Masisa and Al Yashal Evet. Now, as far as Rav is concerned, it's funny you're asking that question now, meaning we already discussed writing on an Evet Kenani in the Mishnah. Why did you wait until we got to this detailed question? Why not when we learned the Mishnah? Why don't you ask the question then? So the Gemara says, Bishlam HaMasis and L'Rav Lokashia de Masira and Rabbi Eliezer, Yila Rami Barcham Akasha. So the Gemara says, well, it from the Mishnah itself, it wouldn't have bothered me because here's what I could have said in the Mishnah. You wrote the Ksav on the Evet Kenani and the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Eliezer. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, you need Ede Mesira. Again, this is primary in terms of learning Masechta Gittin. Machlokis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir. In terms of what is effecting the divorce, is it the Ede Mesira or is it the Ede Chasima? According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's the Ede Mesira. According to Rabbi Meir, it's the Ede Chasima. Our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, so the giving of the get in front of two witnesses is in fact what's effecting it. The writing is temporary writing, according to Rabbi Eliezer, don't matter, right? As long as it was transferred in front, as long at the time of the get, it was written, and it was transferred in front of two Edim, that's all you need, that's sufficient. So in the Mishnah's example, you could have just simply said the Mishnah, an anonymous Mishnah, is going like Rabbi Eliezer, and fine. That wouldn't bother us at all. But, L'Rami Barchama, I'm sorry, so but El L'Rami Barchama Kasha, but now Rami Barchama is talking, obviously, not in the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Why? Because again, in Rami Barchama's question, what happened? What happened was is that there was an Evet Kenani. It did belong to him. And then she comes to court later claiming that, he acquired me the Evet Kenani. And obviously, Rami Barchama in his question is assuming not like Rabbi Eliezer, but assuming like Rabbi Meir. But once you assume like Rabbi Meir, you need ksav. You need the writing to be permanent writing. So the Gemara says, Rami Barchama lokasha b'ksavas kaka. So the Gemara says, okay, so according to Rami Barchama, what we're going to say is that it wasn't just written on the Evet Kenani, it was tattooed into the Evet Kenani. Okay. Now you understand. I made the comment earlier. Now you understand. Okay, so this is admittedly a strange question, and that is that the husband in ownership of an Evet Kenani wanting to divorce his wife. So what he does is he tattoos the Evet Kenani, he tattoos the get onto his Evet Kenani. So now it's permanent writing, and now he's going to hand that Evet Kenani over to his wife. And the only problem now that exists is that we didn't see the transfer of the Evet Kenani from him to her. And so do we assume that there was a transfer, or Maybe the Abba Kanani just simply walked from him to her and there was no formal transfer. This is strange, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the, so Hashadasa Sahachi Masisa Namilotikshe. Now the Gemara says, okay, but now that at least we're entertaining the idea of tattooing the Eved, we can go back to the Mishnah, and we can say that the Mishnah is also talking about a tattoo, and so therefore the need, the requirement to say that a Mishnah is going like Rebbe Lazar and Eidi Mesira, you don't have to say that because now we know that you can tattoo your Eved Kanani. As a sidebar, by the way, a really interesting sidebar, are you allowed to tattoo an Eved Kanani? Presumably the answer, of course, is no. You're not allowed to tattoo an Eved Kanani. Getting a tattoo is aser. It's one of the Yisurim of the Torah. And we know that an Eved Kanani is chayiv in all the mitzvahs that a woman is chayiv in. And tattooing is a lav. It's a lo sase. It's a negative prohibition. So if it applies to women, which it does, so then it should apply to Eved Kanani. So you're not allowed to tattoo the Eved Kanani. So how can we entertain a discussion, which we're doing currently right now in our Gemara, in today's daf, how can we entertain tattooing an Eved Kanani? There's no answer to this question. It just happens to be that right now our Gemara is not focused on the Isser of tattooing. Meaning, tattooing the Eved, what you did was wrong. That wasn't right, right? You shouldn't have done it. Okay, but now that we're here, now we can have the discussion. But admittedly, now it's a little bit strange considering the fact that the Gemara is entertaining a question based on something that you're not allowed to do. Okay. There's no answer. I'm just acknowledging that the Gemara is right now just focused on the transfer. Same basic idea. In other words, you shouldn't have written it, I don't have the answer to your question, but in other words, it's a similar type of question. You shouldn't have written it, but now that we're here, now we want to know. My Havila. So now, if we can, by the way, so just to focus in on what we're asking, okay? In other words, because the tattooing Eved really kind of sends us off on a, right? It distracts us a little bit. And what I would like to do here in the daf is not get distracted and just focus in on what the Gemara is asking. What the Gemara wants to know is as follows. The Eved Kanani belonged to him, and now we see that she's the owner of it. And there are no Eidi Mesira. The Gemara's question is, can we assume that he and she know that in order for the get to work, there must be a transfer? Do people know basically how to make acquisition? That's the Gemara's question. So, Tashma. Dam Reish Lakish, a gojos in lem chazaka. So Reish Lakish says, well, I'll give you a simple proof, and that is the following. Small animals that move around all the time, and now somebody comes to court and says, hey, I'm the owner of this animal. Why? Because I'm in possession of it. And we know in halacha, possession is 9/10 of the law. It's what's called chazaka, being a muchzak. So Reish Lakish says, there's a general rule that when it comes to animals that can move on their own, in lahem chazaka. There is no ownership based on just simply holding it. Chazaka doesn't work by things that can move on their own. Oh, okay, good. So now, obviously, an Eved Kanani is somebody that can move on their own. So in other words, just because she's holding it doesn't mean that she is the muchzak and she's the owner. So, by Rami Berchama, hayu muchzak mitavla shi shalah. Vege kasav aleha, vari yotze mitachas yado, mi amrin aknuye aknise lei, so odom alo yadal aknuye. And now, while we're on this topic of do people know how to make transfer? Let's take the following into consideration. She has a tablet. Okay. I know, by the way, I say tablet now in the 21st century. So it doesn't do justice to what the Gemara means. Yeah. But she has a tablet. It belongs to her. Now, here's the story. He gives it to him. He writes a get on her. No. Let me say that clearer. She gives it to him. He writes the get on it, meaning the tablet, and then he gives it back to her. Okay? Is that a good get or is it not a good get? And again, the question is a predicate of, does he know that in order for the get to work, the tablet must belong to him and he must give it to her as a function of a nasan law? That's the Gemara's question. And so, right? The Gemara over here is very clear. Akuyak niselei. Did she make a kinyan of that tablet from her to him so that now he could properly divorce her? Oh, Dilma, lo yada laknuya, maybe she doesn't know how to do it. In other words, it just, she doesn't understand the mechanics of transaction. So Amar Abaye Tashma. So Abaye says, okay, so let's learn together a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Adios in the second Perek, Afhu. The Mishnah over here is describing Rav Yehuda ben Bava. So Avhu Hayid. So he testified. You know, all the Mishnayos and Hedios are testimonies that were given. They were given by Bayom. Okay, I'm not going to go through right now. I really want to catch up on today's daf. But there is a long story to go over how the Mishnah of Hedios, the Mishnayos and Hedios came to be. But we're not going to go through it now. Anyway, so Avhu Hayid al Kfar Katan Shaya beside Yerushalayim. There was a small village right next to Yerushalayim. Vaya Bozakin Echer Vahaya. So what he would do is that basically he had the town lender and v'kose v'chsav yado v'acherim chosmim. So what he would do is that he would write in his handwriting on his paper, and other people would sign in it. Uvam ma'isel ifnei chachamim v'chshiru, and the chachamim say that's kosher. So v'amai habai sefer mikne v'leika. So and meanwhile, in terms of the requirement of any kind of contract, in terms of the contract, the contract has to belong to the one who is doing the transaction. And over here, what you had in town is that you had this elder, so and he would be writing it, but the paper did not actually belong to the makneh. So Allah Mishum Damina Aknuya Maknaluhu. So the Gemara says, so here's what we're assuming. We're assuming is that this elder in the town, so he knew that in order for contracts to work, so the paper has to actually belong to the makna, to the lender, to the seller, whoever is doing the transaction. So the paper has to belong to him. So this elder in the town understood that. And what did he do? He simply said, here, I'm going to be makna, I'm going to give you the paper, so that the paper now becomes yours, so that you can effect whatever you want to do. You want to lend, you want to sell, I'm giving you the paper. So over there, in that Mishnah in Adios, so we assume that people understand this. So I'm a Rava Maikusha. So Rava says, okay, that's great. That Mishnah in Adios is great. But we're talking about an elder over there. So Dilma, Zakin Shani. So it could very well be that good. So the Mishnah in Adios is describing somebody who's been around the block once or twice. And the other Laknuya over there, he knows how to make Kenyan. But we're talking about husband and wife over here. Now, what their age is, I don't know, and I'm not sure if it's relevant to our discussion. But you can't just simply safely assume that the woman has to understand that even though she's going to be giving something of hers to the husband so he can write the get on it, she has to make a formal Kenyan to him where she has to take that, whatever it is, paper, tablet, whatever it is, and transfer it over to him so that it belongs to him, so that when he gives it to her, he satisfies the pasuk of Anasan Law. That's a lot of legal speak. I mean, legal speak, which is required. But in other words, you can't assume that everybody knows that. And the Ela Merava Mehacha. So Rava says, okay. So what I'm going to show you is another proof, and that's the following. And that is Arav Yosel Acher Chitum Sharos. So Gova Menachas Menecharin. Okay, so Rava uses another, what seems to be a proof that people know how to transfer. Okay, let's talk about a guarantor. Okay, so, right, if I want to co-sign in somebody's loan, so I certainly have the right to do so. Okay, not sure if I'd ever recommend it, but in other words, but if for sure, if it's family or if it's a really, really good friend, it's all right. Baruch Hashem just recently happened to me. So I was asked to co-sign. Anyway, so this is what, right, exists in halacha, in secular world. And so when you are co-signing on a loan, so you're taking the responsibility of, in the event of the default of the borrower, so you're going to go pay back the loan. So that is all well and good. So now, how do you co-sign on a loan? It's very simple. So you co-sign on the loan. And that is that you're going to be writing your name. The contract is going to be written up for you, but your name is going to be written up in the contract where the lender is saying, I'm lending money to so-and-so, and so-and-so is guaranteeing the loan. And then what happens is that you have two signatures signing on the bottom. Now, in the event, perfect, what I just described is literally textbook. In the event where the first borrower goes ahead and defaults, so now the guarantor is going to be sought after to pay back the loan. So far, so good. We knew. Here's what we're discussing right now. And that is that after the loan was already drafted and signed, so now the lender is just a little bit nervous. And along comes a hero, and says, you know what? What do you need? You need a cosigner? What I'll do is I'll cosign on this note. But it's already been signed. It's already been drafted. It's already been signed. So what good is it? That's what we're learning together. So this halacha, it's a Gemara in Baba Basra. It's the end of Baba Basra. All your guarantor discussions are right there at the end of that very long Masecht of Baba Basra. So Arev Hayotzel Achri Chitim Shtaros Govim Menachas Menecharin. So it does help just a little bit. Where? If for whatever reason, right, it's hard to construct why a person would do this, but for whatever reason, if let's say a guarantor post-drafting of the note wants to go ahead and sign on the bottom and say, I'm going to co-sign on this, making the lender feel better. So now the lender does have an avenue, but this is a narrow avenue. The lender now can go after the co-signer, but because he was not drafted into the note, and he only wrote it as an addendum after the witness has signed on it. So now the lender can go after the RA, but can only go on assets that he currently is holding. In other words, there is no lien on the guarantor, on the guarantor's property, and there's no exercising of that lien. Okay, fine. As far as we're concerned, what are we interested? We're only interested in one point and one point only. Okay. In order for this to work, so what has to happen? So this paper now has to be handed over to the guarantor, where now he's going to be signing on the document, but not just handed over, transfer of that paper over to the guarantor, where now he's going to be signing his name and obligating himself for all assets that he's currently holding, and then hand it back to the lender. Oh. So in other words, we're assuming right now that there's a basic knowledge that in order for this to work, there's a transfer of paper. Okay, that's what we're getting from all this. So Amar Rav Ashi my kusha dama gaver shani diadalak nuye, and Rava says, okay, again, great proof. It doesn't speak to our case, because in our case, what do we need? We need a woman to know this. Now, back in the day, as we all know, so women did not receive any kind of formal education. So it's fair to assume back in the day that men may have known this. This idea that in order to be a makna, you have to be the owner of that paper. And therefore, if I'm given the paper, I'm given it legally. In other words, they'll transfer the paper over to me. I'll sign. I'll hand the paper back. Good. But in other words, but over here in our question, we're assuming that the woman has to know that in order for the divorce to work, so she's holding on to this item. She has to not just give it over, but transfer it over to the husband. Husband's going to write the get on it, then give it back to her. So the Gemara says, I'm not sure if we can safely assume that this is known by everybody, women included. So the Gemara says, okay, let's do this one more time. One more time. And that is Isha Kosevis is Gita. Ish Kosev is Shovro. Shein Ki Maget Ela Bechosmav. So if a woman who is interested in a divorce, so she can write the get. The husband can write the shofar. The shofar is going to be the receipt. Obviously, the receipt that proves satisfaction that the ksuva was paid up. And kiyam haget ala bechosmav. And the kiyam haget is only going to be coming with the signatures. Now, the point of this particular, it's a Mishnah. This Mishnah we're going to be seeing in tomorrow's daf. The point of this Mishnah is that who writes it is not relevant at all. In other words, as long as there's a proper transfer that's done. And from this Mishnah, what are we seeing? We're seeing the woman is writing the get. What is she going to do afterwards? She's going to take that paper with the get written on it. She's going to transfer it over to her husband, and then her husband's going to give it to her, right? So isn't that going to be a good proof? Presumably, it's going to be a good proof that women understand that in order for the get to work, so the paper has to be transferred over to him, and then in turn, he's going to give it to her. Amar Rava. Okay, good. Adkan. Okay, so a lengthy discussion in the Gemara, right? Almost an amud. Of a question of, do people understand when it comes to transferring of loans, of contracts? And in our discussion, obviously, we're learning getting over here, of a get. Do people understand the legal requirement of the paper needing to belong to him? And the Gemara's answer is yes, people do know. And people, men, women, everybody understands that basic need, that basic requirement, and we can assume.
Also?
Oh, well, that's today's daf. Oh, perfect setup. Amar Rav Kasav Laget Unas Nabi Aravda Vekasav Lashtar Matana Alav Kanasu Miskareshes Bal. Okay, so here we get to right? A lot of excitement in today's daf. So here we get to one of the more exciting parts in today's daf, and that is the idea of her ability to acquire an item and her get simultaneously. Okay. What the husband's doing over here is the following. He writes a get to his wife, and he hands it into the hand of his Evan. Okay, again, not to be confused. Earlier this morning, we spoke about the get actually being written on the Eved, okay, and even tattooed into the Eved. But now, right, clear, new discussion, related, but new discussion. Okay, what we're discussing over here is he's writing a standard get to his wife, and now what he's going to be doing is he's going to be putting it into the hand of his Eved, and now he's going to be transferring over the Eved with the get in the Eved's hand over to his wife. Now, in order for a get to be a good get, so again, the instructions of the Torah are really clear. And that is v'nasan biyada. He takes a get and he hands it to her. He puts it in her hand. The get, in order to be a successful get, so it has to be handed to her. Now, if I only had the Torah and I only took the literal interpretation, it would mean that what he must do is put it in her hand. Common practice nowadays is that's exactly what's done. Okay, it puts in her hand. However, we are going to be learning time and again through our Masechta that it's not just limited to her hand. In other words, there are extensions of her hands. Now, in today's daf, we're going to be talking about two extensions of her hand. Number one, there's something called the shliach. But what I'm going to ask you to do right now is take shliach and put it on the back burner. Okay, and we'll come back to shliach in just a moment. And another extension of her hand is what's called a chatzer. A chatzer is going to be an extension of her hand. Any property that she owns is now going to be an extension of her hand, so that if the husband takes a get and doesn't put it in her hand but puts it in her chatzer, so that works. Why? Because chatzer is an extension of her hand. I think today's the first day in Gittin that we're saying it, but you're going to be hearing it. We're going to be hearing it together time and again throughout the Masechta. Kinyan chatzer. But chatzer is miyada. It's learned from her yad. Okay, now, with that stated, one other important point that we have to go over, and that is that an eved is considered property from a legal standpoint, right? We go time and again through this idea that eved and karka are similar to one another. They share a lot of commonality. Mm-hmm. Thank you. They share a lot of commonality in halacha. So you have an eved, you have karka. So follow carefully over here. So what he's now doing is he's putting the get in the hand of the Eved. Right now, currently, the Eved belongs to him. He's going to be handing her the Eved, gifting her the Eved, transferring the Eved over to her. So now she is getting an Eved / property, and she's getting her get, and they're coming simultaneously. So that's Gita V'yada Baim Ke'echad. Okay. So first,
if you had done the other way around,
Of course. No, 100%. Right? If the Eved was given to her first, now she has the Chatzer.
Right.
And now, right, now she has the Chatzer. Now she's on top of that going to get the get afterwards. That's easy.
Right?
Rava's making it now much more complicated. Complicated, fancier. In other words, now the get and the Chatzer are coming simultaneously. Okay. So that's a real excitement. Meaning that this idea that she can acquire the chatzer and the get simultaneously. So that's a lot. And the Gemara discusses. So Amar Rav, I'm going to start again. Amar Rav, kasav la get unas nabiyadav, da kasav la shtar matana alav. So kanasu maskara shabo. So now he makes a kinyan on the Eved Kanani. Who's holding her get? And now she has acquired simultaneously both the get and her Eved Kanani, and her new Eved Kanani. And it's coming simultaneously. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. So the Gemara says, this is what's called a chatzim aleches. And a chatzim aleches does not make a kinyan. In other words, it's true. A chatzir is, in fact, going to be an extension of her. But in terms of a chatzir that acquires for her, it has to be a stationary chatzir, can't be a moving chatzir. Meaning, even though her eved is a chatzir, halachically, but in other words, categorically, the Eved is what's called the Chatzer Ma'aleches. And in terms of what allows her to acquire, it must be a Chatzer that is stationary, not a Chatzer Ma'aleches.
So okay. Put it on a
manual,
right?
It'd be the same thing. Now, V'chi Tema, so Be'omei, so the Gemara says, okay, so how about this? How about we ask the Eved to stay still? Now, we're all going to laugh, by the way, because we all know what the Gemara is going to say. So, and let the Gemara say it. So, Vama Rava Kol Sheilo Mahalech Lokana Omer V'Yoshev Lokana. So, the Gemara says, so, but even if you ask the Eved to stay still, that doesn't change his category. He's still categorically a moving Chatzer. It just happens to be right now, currently, he's not moving. But categorically, he's a moving Chatzer. V'Hilchasa B'Kafas. The Gemara says, well, what if we tie the Eved Kanani down? In other words, is it possible to change the category of an Eved Kanani from being a Chatzar Malachis to a quote-unquote standard Chatzar? And the Gemara over here, interesting, the Gemara over here says that yes, you can. Now, it's funny, by the way, because just one line earlier in the Gemara says you can't change the category of an Eved Kanani even while he's stationary. In other words, but because he could move, therefore he remains a Chatzar Malachis. But the Gemara now just tells us, oh, by the way, if I tie the Eved down, now we can categorically change to a quote unquote standard chutzner.
It is similar to the discussion about animals using as a wall for circular.
Correct. In other words, and Tosos over here, right, which second Tosos over here, not going to go through. Tosos notes that it may be that tying him down is simply insufficient. In other words, I know this is going to sound funny, but if you go through Tosos inside, you'll understand it better. Apologies for not explaining this better. But he has to be not only tied down, but he also has to be sleeping. See Tosos for more discussion over there. Okay.
While he keeps again.
Yeah, correct. Okay. The Amar Rav Akasav Lagen Nasna Bechatzir Vekasav Lashtar Matan Alav Kanasum as Garashis Bo. Now Rav is going to tell us what seems to be basically the same point reiterated, but instead of talking about an Eved Kanani, we're now going to be talking about a Chatzir, and that is the Chatzir belongs to him. And now what he's going to do is that he's going to write the get, put it in his chatzer, transfer the chatzer from him to her, and new, she will now acquire both chatzer and get simultaneously. Gita v'chatzer b'im ke'achad. Okay. So, utzricha. Now you have to wonder, which the Gemara does right now. Okay, you told me the halacha regarding an Eved Kanani, where he's transferring his Eved Kanani with get in hand over to her. We spoke about in terms of a chatzer, where he writes the get, puts in the chatzar, transfers over the chatzar from him to her, and we're learning both times that there's an acquisition. But it's really, it's even though it's a big point, but it's the same point just repeated twice. Utsricha. And so the Gemara immediately brushes up on, why do I need it to be repeated to me two times over? Because number one, diyash minan eved, hava mina dafka eved, ava chatzar, ligzer mishim chatzar abalach mikan. In the case of Eved, is a really strange case. It's unusual. But in the case of chatzar, maybe the rabbis would have considered making a gzera. Because think about it. Meaning, if let's say there was not a simultaneous transfer, but it was a sequential transfer, one after the other. First chatzar, and then he puts the get in the chatzar. Let me do that the other way. No. Right? First chatzar, and then he puts the get in the chatzar. So I was right. I was right in correcting myself. First he gives the get, and then afterwards the chatzar is transferred. Under those circumstances, it's not going to work because there wasn't a nesina. He didn't give it to her. So I would have thought that maybe we should make a gzera of iyash minan bechatzar. And if I had the case of chatzar, hav amina dafka chatzar, aval eved. Kafus atushe eved ligzer kafus atushe na kafus kamash malan, and I could have easily considered that. Look, in the eved case, it works, but only in the case where he's tied down, and that means to say that maybe the chachamim made a gzera that if I do it in a case where we tie the eved down, then people are going to see and not going to understand that the tying was a critical component, and people will do this kind of transfer even without tying the Eved down, maybe the Chachamim would have considered making a Gzera. In both cases, there are Gzera considerations. That's why Rava had to tell us in both cases. Amar Abaye Mechti. So Abaye says, okay, now that we've gone over the halacha of Rava of Gita v'chatzir b'am ke'echad, so now that we've gone over that, so Abaye wants to challenge the entire premise altogether. And Abaye does so. He says, I don't understand. Me'echis Rabbi. Mi yada. So, how do I know this? What is the source that a chatzar is going to acquire a get on behalf of the woman? We learn it from Yad. Ma yada di isa bein midata bein bakarcha. Af chatzar di isa bein midata bein bakarcha. So the Gemara says, now, when it comes to a yad, what are the properties of a yad? A yad, her actual physical hand. So it's going to be able to receive the get whether she is interested or whether she is not interested. right? A halacha that we're going to go over numerous times in this Masechta, and that is that a woman can be divorced bal karcha. So over here, her yad is going to be the facilitator of that get. Her receiving that get works whether or not it is, whether it is her ratzon or even if it's not her ratzon. So that means now that because chatzar, which is an extension of her yad, has to operate in a similar fashion. So the af chatzera di isa midata obal karcha. Vamatana midata isa bal karcha leisa. But over here, are we talking about a chatzar that she currently owns? No. We're talking about a chatzar that's being gifted to her. Now, do you have to receive a gift? The answer, of course, is no. You can always decline a gift. Nobody can force a gift upon you. So, if the discussion here that we're having is that he is giving her the chatzar, and Rava's point is that, it works. Why? Because the chatzar is an extension of her hand, and just like a hand acquires a get for her, so does a chatzar. And Rava wants to share with us this idea that the chatzar and the get are coming simultaneously. What Abaye is challenging, what he's pushing back on is, you can't use the chatzar over here as an extension of her hand, because a hand vis-a-vis get has to be both optionally something that is both with her ratzon or even against her ratzon. The chatzar has to operate in a similar fashion. And because we're talking about a chatzar that's being gifted to her, you can't force that upon her.
We give people things all the time.
So, if there is no downside to it. Okay. I'm thinking out loud. I'm acknowledging your question. Maybe property taxes could be. Your point is valid.
To take the gift, isn't there something we have 100 rabbis and
separate discussion. I'll try to explain that at a later point in time. Okay, so Maskov la Rav Shimei bar Ashi v'Ashlichus le Kabbalah de Medayta Isa Bakar Chalesa and Kavishlech le Kabbalah. So the Gemara says, okay, so in other words, I'm trying to wrap my head around this. So in other words, anytime we have extension of her, so it has to be done both optionally with her interest or even shalobiratzona. So the Gemara says, okay, so are we going to say the same thing by shliach? In other words, she sets up a shliach le Kabbalah. So, and now when it comes to shlichus, so it only works midata, does not work shalomidaita. So the Gemara says, Abai, Atur Shlichus, Miada, Israbai, Mivishilach, Vishilcha, Israbai. So the Gemara says, okay, but here's what you did. The mistake that you made is the following. There's Shlichus extension, there's Chatzar extension, they're not the same. Mm-hmm. In other words, Chatzar is coming about via her yad. In other words, we know that Chatzar works because it is an extension of her yad. When the Torah says yada, so we have a drasha that says it doesn't have to be her physical hand. It could be that her property is an extension of her hand. But when we talk about shlichus, shlichus is not derived via yad. Shlichus is a different category altogether. It's shluchus sh'adam kamoso. It is a basically agency, but it's not an extension of her hand. She basically is an appointing proxy. You are going to be me. You are going to be representing me.
There's a designation
there. Right. And there's a designation over there. That is a different channel altogether. So you're right. When it comes to Shliach LeKabbalah, she can only appoint a Shliach LeKabbalah when she's interested in that. You're right. But you're making the mistake of understanding the Shlichus extension as being the same as a Chatzar extension. It's not the same. Okay. And the Gemara says, and oh, by the way, even if you pushed me, I would tell you that there is a shlichus that can be done by karcha, and that is in the case of the father and his minor daughter. We'll discuss that more in detail later on. Anyway, there is such a case out there that can exist that even a shlichus works by karcha. Okay. So, we're going back to our Mishnah. We're on the very bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, and over here we're going to make a push to the Mishnah. And not only a push, we'll make it. We'll make it to the Mishnah. So, going back to our Mishnah, so our Mishnah said that you could write the get on anything, right? Even on a leaf, even on a cow. Okay, so Bishlam Yad Eved. So I understand the hand of the Eved. So lo efshel mikseh. So here's what you can't do. And that is, as we turn to the top of the Amud Beis, and that is that you can't cut off the hand of the Eved. Okay? In other words, let's say you were to write the get on the hand of the Eved, but I know this is graphic and I know it's disgusting, but right. and I'm going to speak about it very unemotionally because we're learning legal right now. That's so it's fine. And you'll just simply cut off the hand of the Eved and hand of the Eved here. Here's your get. Okay? Disgusting and gruesome as it may be. You can't do that. Such an interesting Rashi over here. Why can't you do that? May I share with you this Rashi? Look at the Rashi on the top of the Amud Beis. Lo Asher Lemitzei, Dishach Memitzos, Venu Rishai Lechababo. You know your Eved Kanani is Chayv in Mitzvos, and you can't do Chavala, you cannot harm him. In other words, you cannot harm another person, and your Eved is Chayv in Mitzvos, you cannot harm as well. Vim Chavabo Yosel Lecheres, Barosh Yevarim, Alma Eino Rishai Lechababo. And you know that once you do any kind of physical damage to him, so he goes free. Now, it's not all physical damages, by the way, but whatever. Just stick with the main point of Rashi. And he goes free. What you see, says Rashi, Alma ein rishal chababo, therefore you see that you're not allowed to be mechabal him. Okay. There is such an interesting discussion in this Rashi. Why is Rashi making these two separate points over here? You know he's a chayv b'mitzvah, so he can't harm him, and you know that if you cut off a limb, you know he goes free, and therefore you're not allowed to hit him. Meaning, why those two points there in Rashi? Okay, I'll tell you the truth. I found a lot of interesting discussion over here, but meanwhile, we're gonna go on. So when it comes to the Eved Kanani, it's not even an option to write the get on the arm of the Eved Kanani, lop off the arm and give it to her. I understand that. But Ella, Karen Shal Para, Likse Velesve La. So the Gemara says, okay, but the Karen Shal Para, you're writing the get on the horn of a cow. Okay? Admittedly, a strange choice that you made in terms of what's going to be servicing your get. But it doesn't matter. The Gemara's point over here is, why not cut it and then give it to her? Amerkara v'kasa v'nasan la. So the Torah says v'kasa v'nasan. Those two words are not coming in succession, but they are in the same pasuk. And those are two action points, verbs of the Torah, where the Torah gives instructions to write and give. And mishayna mechusa alaksiva v'nesina, yatsa mechusa ksiva ketsitsa v'nesina. And that means to say that there cannot be an intermediary action point. Any intermediary action point is going to invalidate the get. You must go immediately, I don't mean in time, but in terms of actions, you must go immediately from Ksiva to Nesina. Now we know, by the way, time is not going to be an issue because we just gone through Gemara's recently. We talked about a 6-month lag between the Ksiva and the Nesina. What there can't be is there cannot be an intermediary action point between the two. Okay. Rav Yosef Glili Omer, my time into Rav Yosef Glili. If you remember in the Mishnah quoted the opinion of Rav Yosef Glili. So he says that you cannot write a get on a Ruach Chaim, on anything which is animate, nor can you write on food. And the Gemara's question is really simple. Where does that come from? So Ditanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Ein li ela sefer, minayin l'rabbis kol davar, tamalamar v'kasavla, mikamakom. Okay, so what we have is a ribui. V'kasavla tells me that I can write on anything. It doesn't have to just simply be klaf. So why does the Torah say sefer? My sefer davashesh bo ruach chayim. Sorry, can I read that correctly? My sefer davashesh ein bo ruach chayim ve'eino ochel. Av kol davashesh ein bo ruach chayim ve'eino ochel. So what sefer does is that we know it's not limited to sefer, but at the same time, it's going to define. In other words, it gives us a basic characteristics. What are the characteristics of a sefer? It's inanimate and it's not food. So v'rabban aniksiv ba sefer kedagamart. So, hasha dichsiv sefer, sfiras dvarim hu da'asa. So, the Chachamim's pushback on this, we know the Chachamim pushback because we know the Chachamim don't agree. Meaning the Tanakhama of our Mishnah said that you could write your get on the Eved Kanani. You can write your get on an animal. You can write your get on Alei Zayit. We know the Chachamim disagree. What about the drasha we just cited? They disagree with the drasha, obviously. The Gemara explains. What do the Chachamim say? If the Torah would have said, ba sefer, sefer then is a noun. It's an object. And then I agree with you, but it doesn't say it. It says sefer. The pasuk reads, v'kasav la, sefer krisus. So it says sefer, not as a noun, but as a descriptive. L'sfiris dvarim hu da'asa. In other words, what the get has to do is the get has to talk. In other words, it has to tell the story. I mean, the story is sad, but the story is that I'm divorcing you. You are going to be muteris l'chol adam. That's the That's what the Torah is telling us when it says sefer, sfiras dvarim hudasa. So v'rabbanan hai v'kasav mayavdile. Now, according to the Chacham, the word kasav no longer being necessary because we are not limited by the word sefer. So then what is the Torah doing with the v'kasav mibayle? B'ksiva miskareshas v'en miskareshas b'kasav. In other words, what is the vehicle of divorce? It has to be a contract. It cannot be kasav. Sakadat chamina. Ikashitziyala avayim avayim b'kasav avyisiyanami b'kasav. And the havamina. Havamina would have been that you can divorce through money. Why? Because we know that the Torah has a hekesh between divorce and marriage, right? In the same pasuk, right? She leaves one man, she marries another man. So I would have said that just like marriage can be effected through money, divorce can be effected through money. So kamash malan. The idach now, Rav Yossi Aglili, nafgalei, sefer krisus, sefer korsa, vein davar acher korsa. So it says sefer krisus, which means that only the sefer is going to be the divorce, the effective severance, and nothing else. V'idach, now the chachamim will counter all the same. Mibaylei davar akoris beino levena. So no, the chachamim will say, what does the word krisus coming to teach me? Comes to tell me a different point altogether, and that is full severance. What does that mean, full severance? We're going to see this a couple of times. Again, today's the first time we're going to see in the Masechta. Kidetanya, we learned. Arizikitech amanas. Shol tishti yain. Amanas. Shol tech lebeis avich la'olam. So, ein ze krisus. Ashol shem yom. So, arizik krisus. So, if there is a string attached in the get, and it doesn't matter what the string is, right? The divorce will be good, but you will not be able to drink wine for the rest of your life. That is not a full severance. That's not a get. Another example. You may never go visit your father once again. That's not a full severance. Full severance means that there cannot be a permanent condition attached to the get. On the other hand, a temporary condition, well, that's fine. And I say fine, by the way, it's abusive, but in other words, we're just talking in terms of what is the validity of a get. That'll work. Let's say, for example, he says that you can't drink wine for 30 days. Okay. That would be a good get because that's not a failure of permanent severance. There is a permanent severance with just a temporary clause put in. V'idach mikaris krisus, v'idach karis krisus lo darshi. And again, the Gemara just finishes up the ping pong over here. What does Rav Yossi Aglili do? Meaning, he also agrees there has to be a full severance. Rav Yossi Aglili will tell you, I'm learning two halachas. The Torah could have said karis, it said krisus, so therefore it allows for two halachas. One, the halacha of full severance that we just learned together, and two that contract is the only way to divorce and not money, and the chachamim will say we don't believe there's a double drasha encoded in krisus. Krisus only allows for one drasha, not for two drashas. Okay, ad kan, and we got to the Mishnah. That's exciting. Okay, good. A lot was covered over the course of today's daf. Wow. We talked about the golden parachute. We talked about the golden get, in which the get is going to be servicing both the get and it's going to be the ksuva payment as well. The Gemara says, so good, so be it. A lengthy discussion starting on Chaf Amud Beis, taking us into today's daf, regarding do people know about how to acquire? Meaning, if he's divorcing her, he's going to own the paper. Does she know that? And the Gemara's ultimate answer after a lengthy discussion is yes, she knows that. And so therefore, if let's say the tablet belonged to her, and he gives it to her right, she's going to know that a transfer needs to be made. Okay, good. A big discussion in today's daf, right? If you will, the highlight of today's daf, a lot of highlights. But the highlight of today's daf is the idea that he wrote a get, he gave it to his Eved Kenani, alternatively, he puts it in his chatzer, he transfers over the Eved Kenani, alternatively the chatzer to her, she's going to acquire the Eved Kenani and the chatzer and the get, and it's going to be done all simultaneously. Okay, gito v'chatzir b'am ke'echad, gito v'avda b'am ke'echad, and that is the chiddush of Rav in today's daf. Abai pushes back a little bit on the case of the eved. It's a chatzir malaches. It's not a stationary chatzir. We can render the eved into a stationary chatzir by tying him down. Okay, and see Tosus for more details on that. Okay, the Gemara says the Gemara had a discussion today regarding various extensions of the woman. Her chatzer being an extension of her yad, and shlichus. But the Gemara made it very clear in today's daf. Those are not the same extensions. The extension of a chatzer is coming about via yad. Chatzer is mishum yada, Shlichus, however, is a different avenue altogether. It's not an extension of her hand. It is a different category, and therefore does not have to fit within the same constructs and the same rules as a chatzar. Okay. And finally, our last point that we made today, and that is that when it comes to the para, the Mishnah made a very big point that you got to give her the whole para. You're right to get on the horn, and you got to give her the whole para. Why can't you just simply cut off the horn? Cutting off the hand of an Eved Kanani is not an option. Cutting off the horn, so why not? The Gemara says because it then introduces us to an intermediary action. You can't do that. It has to be the cuss of Vinasan, and there can't be any intermediary action. And finally, the last thing that we discussed today, Rav Yosef Lili, banning the writing of a get on animate objects and on foods. How does he arrive at that conclusion? Answers, he darshans psukim. What about the chachamim? They darshan the psukim differently.